today is the first day of fall, so it's time to continue to move forward. And we are moving forward. I'd like to call the Convention Facilitary Authorities Board business meeting to order. And Roger, can you do a roll call, please?
Certainly. Ms. McFaul.
Present.
Mr. Meyer.
Here.
Mr. Dunn.
Here.
Mr. Brown. Mr. Zwanka.
Here.
Mr. Hawkins.
Present.
Mr. Bishop. Mr. Hill. Absent. Mr. Butler.
Here.
And Mr. Cole.
Here.
Okay.
Thank you. Wonderful. Thank you. Thank you. Next, we're going to have a review. We're going to look at our minutes. Everyone should have received their minutes from the March 18th, 2016 meeting. Has everyone had a chance to review those minutes?
I move they be approved.
Second.
Thank you. All those in favor?
Aye.
Anyone abstaining?
I'll abstain since I wasn't here.
Okay, thank you. All right. Next on our agenda is our audit update. This is going to be very interesting. Karen has just continued to do a good job, and I want to thank you for keeping me updated
on some
of the processes that we had to do.
We had one minor finding on the audit, which was related to the refunding and how we handled the accounting of some of the escrowed funds. It has since been corrected, and all is good. Another letter to the file that they noted was they wanted to make sure that our minutes were made public, and Jeff at the county has made sure that the minutes are getting posted onto their website in a timely manner. So outside of that, all was very, very good, and we got a clean bill of health. So.
Wonderful. Great job.
Thank you.
Does anyone have any questions about the audit update from Karen? Well, we're going to move now to the review of the first and second quarter financial report.
Okay. I only brought the second quarter report, but it actually has the numbers for the first and second on there as well. So if you refer to the packet that has the letter, the City of Cincinnati, that's the cover memo that goes to the Bank of New York with our quarterly report. The second page of that is a hotel tax status report that everybody would probably be most interested in. Mm-hmm. If you look over to the fourth column where it says total actual city hotel tax collection for so far for 2016, we received $632,998 in the first quarter, $687,139 in the second quarter. You move over about three columns to the county's actual collection. They received $1.7 million first quarter, $2.5 million in the third quarter. And those are all above projections. And then on to the last page, which shows our expense status report. This shows our expenditures. We estimated expenditures for the year to be $65,000. We have year-to-date expenditures of $53,486. With the typical expenditures to the Bank of New York for the administrative fee for the trust and the Ohio State Auditor and the officer's liability insurance. So that concludes that report, unless anybody has any questions.
Thank you, Karen. Anyone have any questions regarding her report, regarding our quarterly findings?
I got a question.
Yes.
The variance there on the revenue for the county year to date, is that, am I reading that right?
Okay, it's remit. Okay, I think what you're saying, the variance between the
budgeted and the actual.
Oh, the budget, the actual difference. On the county side?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and we've kept the budgeted numbers relatively the same. We actually did increase. You guys increased your projections this year. You want to know why there's such an increase?
Yeah, any input?
Any input on that?
The only thing I can think of is that we did have a couple settlements of, I guess, hotels that hadn't paid their taxes for quite some time. But for the most part, I don't think that's a huge part of that number. I think it's just general churn and things are improving.
Good. Thank you.
Is that maybe do also the All-Star Game possibly related?
Are we looking at it?
That was last year.
Was that last year already? Oh, my goodness. That seems like just yesterday.
Any other questions? Need a motion?
I'll move.
Who was that? Okay.
Second.
Need a second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Anyone opposed or abstaining? Okay. I don't see Dan here. We'll just skip this one for right now, and we're going to go ahead now and move toward the Sharonville Convention Center's capital and future update.
Well, thank you. I think it's two-sided handout there. Grab it. I know at the last meeting, Rick with the Duke has reviewed the capital projects for the Duke Center. And one of the things I had promised was to bring a list for our capital projects for this year and our five-year projects. So I won't go through all of these, but certainly want to look at some of the more important ones for us. We replaced our dock doors this year. Three of our original dock doors were replaced. New motors, new hardware, big impact for our guests. We have a couple other small projects left this year that'll be completed before the end of the year. And then next year, we had a nice surprise. We were, you know, how many of you are aware of this, but we have a capital fund that we contribute about 3% of our revenues to for capital and repairs to the building. And it's averaging about $50,000 to $60,000 a year. And then the county recently, I guess it was been a couple years ago, had agreed to match that and contribute another $50,000 to that fund. And so our balance right now is about $185,000. So we got to be really conscious of the balance and forecasting on what our projects are going to be. With the expenses that we are expecting in the next 4 to 5 years in these projects that we have written out, with the county's contribution and our contribution, we should be pretty close to being able to do these projects. The biggest future projects that we have next year, we want to get a dishwasher. The dishwasher that we have is actually original. And it's very small. Our center's about, the original center was about a third of the size of the new center. And so we really need to address that. A lot of repairs over the last few years. But it's a fairly significant expense. The unit that we'd like to get is similar to the one they have here at the Duke. It's a conveyor unit, and it would allow us to do three times the volume that we do now. So we have some upgrades that we would like to do in our wireless system for next year. Replacing our access points. I guess Cincinnati Bell has a new program called Connect Cincinnati that's going to improve our internet experience, make it completely faster, more capacity, but we're going to have to upgrade some of our hardware to do that, as well as our network infrastructure the following year. The largest expense on the horizon that we have are our air handlers. We have six original air handlers in the building. They're coming up on 25 years old. We expect those to go out over the next few years. They're in fairly good condition, but we'll be rebuilding them as they go out. And then the other big expense is our asphalt. We'll be 5 years old in April. We're going to reseal and stripe before the hotel opens in April, so we'll get a nice fresh look. But we'll need to redo the asphalt probably about 2021, and it's a significant expense, about a couple hundred thousand dollars. So we thought it was important to share this with you and to show that we have a plan for the next 5 years. You know, as we have a finite number of dollars coming into our capital fund, we need to make sure that we plan accordingly.
Jim, I have a question. Maybe Roger can answer more than anybody else, but what oversight responsibility do we have for the Sharonville Convention Center? That relates to, I know you're getting a fixed amount from whatever we determine on an annual basis.
And that's what, are you talking about from the waterfall?
Do you get any of the waterfall residual? And is that subject to change every year or what? And do we decide that? In other words, what?
So my understanding, I'll let Roger, if you want to take that after me, my understanding, each year we get $1.3 million for debt service from the residual account. And then recently, a couple years ago, the county was kind enough to contribute another $50,000 every year, I think for the next, I think we have 3 years left on the agreement, for capital and improvements and maintenance. That's my understanding.
Okay.
Dan, there have been cooperative agreements over the last several years when we get to deciding how to divide up the residual funds every year, and it has been a multi-year agreement. Correct, Karen.
Mm-hmm.
And in that cooperative agreement, we set forth the dollar amount that the dollars flow through the waterfall to the county, and the county in turn designates a certain dollar amount that will go to Sharonville. Then there's a separate agreement between Sharonville and Hamilton County about those dollars that have flown flow through from the residual funds to the county and then to Sharonville. So the oversight on Sharonville's expenditures is more in the nature of the agreement between Sharonville and Hamilton County.
And there
are certain reports that Sharonville has to provide, and there's a provision for an audit of those expenditures by the county if there's any question about the expenditure.
But how Jim wants to spend the money is up to him. I think we can't offer any input other than on an annual basis saying that maybe there is a certain amount that shouldn't go there because of what they're doing.
Right, but there was, in connection with the debt financing that Sharon Bill did, 5 years ago maybe?
Yeah.
There was an agreement at that time that Hamilton County would designate a certain portion of its residual funds to Sharonville to enable it to meet that debt financing.
Sure, yeah. Okay. Thank you.
And Dan, this document that I have, it just so happens that we're doing, you know, for the city of Sharonville, which I'm an employee of, we present a capital budget, a five-year plan every year at this time. So I report this to council. Council and the mayor ultimately approve of the capital projects before I move forward.
So this is really more for informational purposes than anything to vote on today. Correct?
Absolutely. Yeah. Last meeting, it was requested of me to bring this in the minutes, so I wanted to make sure I had something.
Okay. And I think it's important from an FYI perspective that I would like to request that we perhaps get a report. How often do you report to the county commissioners your goals and how the progress of this of the plan is going?
For the capital project?
Yes.
Once a year.
So I would like to have this reported to us as well.
Absolutely.
A year.
Absolutely.
I'd like the records to reflect that because they're doing a great job, and I think just for the record, it's good for it to be in our records as well. Okay. Anyone else have any questions of Jim? If you've been out that way, there's a lot of progress going on. The hotel is moving, the expansion and the renovation is moving up, and I happen to be across the street from his project or from the Sharon Convention Center yesterday, and I was amazed at how fast it's moving. You know, it's going to be completed April of 2017.
Yeah, we're expected to be open in April of 2017, but it's. The weather's been perfect, so they've really gotten a good start, and you know, hopefully, can't open soon enough, right?
Yeah, that's right.
We'd like to open it soon.
That's right.
How many rooms is the hotel?
About 125. And I'll say, to bring that up, it's so important, our facility, to maximize our facility, we need about 300 to 400 rooms peak night. So that one hotel, while it's great and it's a very important to our success, it's just one piece of the puzzle. So our neighbors next door, the Live-In, across the street, the Fairfield, they are all are very important to our continued success. We had the Ohio Society of CPAs in this week. They used all the hotels.
How's your parking situation?
It's good. It's good.
Yeah.
So we lost about 90 spots for the hotel.
But you lost some space there.
We lost 90 there. We lost a little bit in the rear, but that's temporary. That's where they're staging all of the construction. So those will open back up. We'll have 1,000 spots still on site, complimentary. And then across the street, we own that 300 lot. We're trying to develop that, so I don't know how long I'm going to have it, but we use that for overflow.
Is that the lot by the side, to the right?
If yes. You're coming,
okay.
To the other hotel.
To the other hotel.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
So if you're ever up there, please stop in. I'll show you around.
I would like, I don't know how many of you all would be interested in this, but in our next meeting, which we'll talk about later, perhaps you can give us a brief presentation on mm-hmm. what it looks like. You'll have, you know, a much better insight regarding where it is, where we're going, and what it looks like. And I think it would be interesting because just walking through right now with the stages of construction that's going on, it's really overwhelming. I think it's really awesome, too. It's not only overwhelming, but I'm trying to figure out how are they going to get from the hotel straight into you, but now that you've developed that sort of somewhat of an archway or something?
We actually will have two entrances. The hotel is actually connected to the convention center mm-hmm. through a walkway. You never have to go outside. It'll be connected to the lobby.
Mm-hmm.
And so they'll walk right into the lobby. We do still have our three external mm-hmm. entrances, but they'll be able to connect right through their lobby.
I would like,
Mr. Chairman, I think that would be awesome, an awesome idea to just give us, Jim, some context as mm-hmm. to where we've been and where we are right now. Being local, I grew up and I had folks out in Glendale, and that's in a neighboring village.
Mm-hmm.
Princeton School got redeveloped up to this point, so having an idea of what it looked like then and even 10 years ago and what the area out there looks like now is... I'd like to know how it developed there and how as the convention is working with its neighbors around to really build up that economic district
mm-hmm.
because it's a little lively compared to what the sleepy town I'm used to.
Yeah, that's true.
But Jim, maybe you'll volunteer to host the next meeting.
Yes,
you took the words out of my mouth,
that
Roger.
That invitation is always open. But maybe next time we have the meeting you come up and I'm sure it'll be close to that time period and we'd love to show you.
I think that would be great. Thank you. All right. Anything else, Jim?
No. Okay. Thank you very much.
We're going to continue to follow the agenda to the best of our ability. Other business. I would like Rick to kind of give us an update on the murals.
Sure. The murals. They're a city project, and I think that if you have a chance to walk out there or drive by them on Central Avenue at the west end of our facility, you will see a lot of the murals. They're putting up glass right now,
mm-hmm.
and they're striking. They're very, I think people had the concept of they would be, good, and that might not be a good place for them, and it'd be interesting, but they are really, I think, they've shined those up and done some work on maintenance of them, and it is a striking mm-hmm. display of great, great art and will be a great attribute to the west end of the city for many years to come. So,
how many?
It's awesome. There's nine. All nine are there, and they're all in a row. They're all under the overhang that is the Grand Ballroom. Projects out over Central 40 feet, and so they're all under that overhang. They look really, they're dynamite. I mean, it reminds me of when we uncovered and did the Charlie Harper. It's just an amazing display of really, really nice art. So they should I don't have a finish date. I know that I think everyone probably should hold October 20th on their calendar if they can. I've heard, Sheila, the last date I heard was the time was 11 a.m.
Yeah, that was the last thing I heard.
But we will update you. We'll get you, everyone on this board will get an update on the final time for that. I won't call it an unveiling because you can see them now, but it'll be a nice, here's a nice welcome back to downtown Cincinnati for the Union Terminal murals that went over to the airport in the 70s.
Rick, did they suffer any damage in the move or in the erection?
You know, there was some cracks in the tile. There was I don't know that happened from the move or happened from years. I think they came across the river in really good shape. They had an interesting story. We did an art project here in the building through capital dollars on the city side with a mosaic tile company. It's a man and wife, Coverman's, and they do a spectacular job. They also worked on Charlie Harper on the mural there to do a lot of repair and maintenance on that. And then they were also contracted to work on the Union Terminal murals. And so it was a really good story because it's this man and wife that have this little tiny business and they do mosaic tile murals, which we have one that's the Roland Bridge, and then we have one in our planning suite that's a three-piece. But I think they're in great, great shape.
Well, considering all the travels they've done over the years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's always kind of cross your fingers, but I think they came across the river really well. They were put in place. It was really a sight to see when they had that crane moving them and putting them in place, and it was a pretty awesome event. So we're excited to have them, and I think everyone will get a really good view of them, certainly very shortly, and a glass closure.
Glass UV resistant.
Yes.
I think I mentioned, Rick, when I got off the interstate off this street, man, I can't believe how vibrant the color is.
Oh, my God.
I was expecting, you know, dusty or what you saw out at the airport.
They sat in some terminals for a long time, in the baggage terminals at for the airport, and they weren't necessarily very well maintained. I think they were, you know, great art, but not necessarily. They're back to really as vibrant as they've ever been. At least that's my impression, and they look great.
So maybe we should post them on Facebook or something when we kind of build up the unveiling.
Oh yeah, we will do that. We're working with Rocky with the city manager's office to roll that out, and we're working with Source Cincinnati, the CBB, with marketing those. When we do that presentation, because that really, the Harper got us a lot of media hits, mm-hmm. and a lot of hits on social media and everything in the national news too when we did that. We'll do the same thing again, and we'll capitalize on that with our partners and with the city office.
As I recall, we agreed to reimburse the city up to a certain amount.
Yes.
For this. Who's the bookkeeper on this? Do you know what these costs are as we
I have not received anything yet. Sheila, the last I heard they were within budget, aren't they?
Yeah, they may have been over a little bit because there was just a little damage from some work that had been done at the airport apparently over the years as they raised the floor and the carpeting. You know how you put those edges along the carpet, so some of that had to be repaired. That wasn't in the original budget. But nothing significant.
And the city was paying the cost of anything in excess. So it doesn't sound like we're going to get anything back.
Right.
No. I mean, as I remember, the number is like $725,000.
Yeah, and it's paid paid over the next like four or five years.
Four or 5 years.
Yeah.
So it appears as if you're going to be within that $725,000.
Oh, yes.
Well, that's good.
And I can bring the numbers when that's all finalized as to what was spent.
I was hearing numbers up to $2 million.
Yeah, you're right. So yeah.
That's a lot of it depended upon how to provide the insulation, humidity control, and so forth.
Yeah.
So I'll make sure, either I'll bring it or I'll have someone from facilities come to the next meeting and kind of update on everybody on the total cost of what it turned out to be.
Well, that'd be very interesting. Thank you.
I think that would be good.
Or Rick can.
I don't know when our next meeting is, but October 20th, we can get that unveiled then. That'd be great.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Or I can even send it. I can email it out
and
to everybody.
And I think it should be part of our report as well in our next meeting.
Sure.
Just for the record.
Okay.
And I just want to share with you all, I had an opportunity, and Rick was just, he and his staff were just wonderful. I was requested to talk about the murals with the Kiwanis out in the community where I live. And he and his staff put together a fabulous PowerPoint for me. But I also went a little further because I was interested in how they even came to be. So there was a great history about the German gentleman, you know, and the thing that I found amazing is that he focused on the importance of work ethics and how that really exemplified the work ethics of individuals working in various plants like Monsanto? And some other places. But he got some of his ideas from the Harlem Renaissance when he was in New York. And I just found that astonishing. And so I had to do some research on he as well. And the group that I spoke with, they were just so amazed because they didn't really know that much. And they also supported the murals being moved over here. So they want to come back later when it's completed, and I'll have Rick come with me, and he can do the honors. But there were about 40 people there, and it was really, really great. And the thing that I found amazing was in the process of beginning to get those murals out, one of them, I guess the airport had constructed around the mural. So the mural was there first. Am I right?
I think that in one of the murals in one of the baggage claim areas, that had been done.
So they actually built around the murals. So the challenge was, and correct me if I'm wrong, was how they were going to lift that mural out of that space, which they didn't have much room, like in centimeters, without damaging it. So how did they do that?
You know, that's one of the things that we probably need to, and I'm going to try and do that, and I was just thinking of it just now, is probably backtrack with the airport. I know they've got some film, and they've got some, and we don't have that, so we'll probably need to capture that, because that would be a good story also, is how did they come out of the airport, what were their challenges?
It just lifting it up, but I mean, I just can't recall how many inches, but it was very tight, just to lift that baby up out of there, you know, without damaging
it. How smooth everything went once they got to our site. I mean, it was just a machine on how they had it all timed, they had it all coordinated, they had the trucks, they had the big crane, they had all the guys, and it was, you know, it was pretty interesting, the process and the logistics in making that happen were pretty interesting.
Rick, who installed them over here?
You know, it was done by the same group.
It was Fenton Rigging that did the transfer.
That are the ones you originally
ran the cranes. And the two of them were just seamless. It was fun to watch.
And then the main contractor right now is a company called Greyback.
I think that's taking advantage of a great opportunity for community outreach. Mm-hmm. Going out to the community, telling the story, frankly, it should be told a lot more.
Absolutely.
I don't think the media picks up on enough, but mm-hmm. Hell, we can do it ourselves here and get it out to everybody.
Yes.
It's a great PR move. Yeah.
And all of the staff, all of you all that participated in the logistical aspects of that are to be commended.
Well,
because
to be really the city's facility group, Joel Koopman and Jamie
Akira.
Akira Caruso, coordinated that with Grayback. Our chief engineer, Mike Scott, worked
yes.
with them, but really
mm-hmm.
Joel, who's taken on another job now within the city, but Jamie, those are the two main people that really, between them and our engineering team, they did a great job and really came through.
Thank you. And I think you need to let them know that we really appreciate everything that they did, and it was a great job that they did to maneuver and manipulate
sure.
those artifacts and the murals and get them over here in
yeah.
a safe manner. And also just the logistical aspects of trying to time it so that the weather was going to be perfect, you know, wasn't going to be raining, and you did it on a weekend, right? And traffic was down, and so
they had to dodge our event schedule too. So
that's true.
We had some interesting events during that time frame, so they worked through all that.
Great. Thank you again.
Sure.
And I know you'll give us an update, and I'm looking forward to, if the date still stands, to October the 20th.
Yes.
I think that's going to be awesome. Make sure we market it a lot and get a lot of PR out there, and which I know you will.
Oh, we will.
All right. Is there any other business? I'm kind of waiting on Dan. Yes.
Oh, yeah. Are we going to get anything on the CDB for what Dan was going to do? I'm curious. Is any new development on the downtown hotel?
Oh, that's a good point.
Improvement or replacement or whatever.
Some issues.
I thought Dan was going to try and give us some of that.
Dan is.
That's right. You're Dan. Yeah.
He's Dan.
Sorry.
First of all, let me introduce a couple of new faces. I'm Barry Brooks, Vice President of Sales, but Yancey Deering, who just joined us on our marketing team, new face, and John Rich has been with us for about 6 years, but I think this is the first time we've actually come to this meeting. So just a couple of new faces. Let me give you an update very quickly on what's going on.
Thank you.
Millennium, about 4 months ago, brought in the new president of North America. And he came to the city, basically took a look at the property, and met with the mayor as well as the CBB. Sean Tracy is his name. He's got a very good, strong hotel background. He recognized the fact that something needs to happen with that hotel. I don't mean to put words in his mouth, but he looked at basically two projects that is high priority within Millennium Hotels. One is a New York project. They've got a hotel basically Times Square in New York, and the other one was Cincinnati. We're waiting to hear the results of a board meeting that took place 2 months ago in London. I know that there is information that they are seeking as far as they've looked at the property from an architectural standpoint. Now they're looking at it from a mechanical standpoint. We hope to have that wrapped up by the end of October, and then basically come up with the recommendations as to what to do moving forward on the property. When we first met with him, he indicated probably a renovation in the neighborhood of around $25 million. Hmm. Obviously, we came back immediately and said that isn't enough, quite honestly. 35 years in the hotel industry, that doesn't work. We said it's upwards probably of $80 million to $100 million to do it correctly. 50% of that would go to the back of the house. Since kind of returned it, but again, we're waiting for the recommendations to come back through from Singapore, ultimately to go ahead and spend the money. We need to get a decision one way or another.
Yes, we do.
So are they assessing to go in the path of renovations only, or possibly a tear down? Start over.
It's really not at this point.
I'd say tear down.
Just trying to find out which way they're planning to go. It's a difficult building, the bones. I personally believe that there's a lot to do if you wish to redo the building. To me, it would be teared out and put up a new one, but that's just the other side of it. Ultimately, it would be their decision. Obviously, the company in Singapore has extremely deep pockets. They're committed to doing something with the Millennium brand in the United States. They have 13 hotels, all of which are, there's only one that really has done a major renovation, that was the UN Plaza Hotel. They've done minor renovations in Minneapolis, Boston, and one other location. So it would be interesting to see what they plan on doing with
this
70-room hotel.
Under this new ownership, are they willing, more so than the previous ownership?
It's not new ownership. This is Chairman Quek out of Singapore.
Okay.
It is the largest real estate holding company in Singapore, second only to the Singaporean government. When you look at their portfolio, which I've had the pleasure of doing, the portfolio is about this thick of all of their assets. The hotel portion is about this thick.
Mm.
So they're very well known in Asia and in Europe, but not really in the United States. So again, we're trying to find out what recommendations
are. But are they willing to work with the city and the convention facility here?
Yes.
Okay.
In fact, the reason why Dan's not here, we've got a meeting with the mayor set today for 2 o'clock in gearing up for that meeting. So Dan sends his apologies. We hope to be here, but he's trying to put that all together. Yes.
Does the company that you're speaking of own the land and the building?
Yes, they do, which complicates things.
Yes.
They do own it. So there's a lot of moving parts to this. Obviously, the city is heavily involved. We need action. We need to get it done now. Rick knows as well as I do, it's very difficult to continue to go to trade shows in Washington, D.C., and anywhere else. It's the first thing they say, what's going to happen with the land. So we're hoping by the end of October, we'll have that.
And is the city doing regular code enforcement of that facility? I was talking to someone who was there, and they said there was a ventilator that was going from one room into the other, and it just looked like it was kind of haphazardly in, you know, either heat or cool, and there was water dripping off of it. It didn't sound safe. Is there a process that we have that's regularly monitoring what's going on in there, like we would with a restaurant or any other service facility downtown?
Sheila, do you have any update on that, Sheila?
I haven't seen any reports about the millennium. Someone would have to complain about something like that. Fire goes in on a regular basis, but I don't know that they would be looking at an issue that is specific.
Brenda, just to give some context, when I was in the mayor's office, we get all kinds of complaints, and the city do what it locally could do, but who do you send the bill to? You know, I mean, in Singapore, they're a whole day ahead of us. And as to Barry's point, the hotel business is a small portion of their portfolio, so it's almost like, you know, do they care? And it's going to take, in my opinion, based on what we dealt with, just getting in touch with them. So I really commend the new leadership at City Hall and the mayor for being able to get a meeting with them. It was tough. We tried all the time. So it's going to take local city government, the county, probably our friends at the state to make them pay attention to, and I think we have up to this point this area of the United States, because they're global. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, I hope we can expand the convention center so we can get more business. If we are to do some business and they do see the need to tear down what is the unsightly spot in our downtown right now, as we continue to go through this renaissance, mm-hmm. you know, downtown. Mm-hmm. You know, it's bad for business when we can't get the conventions and the size of the conventions we need here, and they have nowhere to lay their head, along with the bad reputation mm-hmm. that comes along with the millennium. So
I'm just wondering if there are codes and regulations that would apply that would, at some point, the problem at the hotel is so egregious that they'd have to.
I think that the city's waiting to get back and to see which way they go.
Yeah, and I'm happy to look up the address and see what reports have come in, but in the last year and a half, and I meet with those folks regularly, the hotel has not come up other than it's an economic development project that the mayor's office is working with, mm-hmm. and others. But certainly if the group is interested in knowing what the complaints have been and what the actions have been, we can provide that in another meeting.
But well, Barry, this might be a little early, but I think that's did any discussion come about of the CFA providing any kind of financing support to whatever might be done at the Millennium?
I know that Dan's working on a few things, so I'll let Dan speak to that. But I know that the second will be the cost of this. The meeting this afternoon is with the mayor and looking at the expansions of the nation center as well as their options.
Do we even have the funds? How would the CFA be involved?
That'd be under us.
What did you say, Dan?
I think that's well beyond our scope and beyond our ability. And the best thing we can do is support or advocate.
Unless we were to own the project, we would not be, unless we became part of this facility, that would be out of scope. Mm-hmm.
Does this project have the potential of maybe expanding and making the hotel bigger?
Yes, it does. Again, we're waiting to hear back from Singapore. It's a little premature. Obviously, we've gone there before many, many times. We're hoping that this we will finally get an answer in October.
Gary, I think you sound like you're very optimistic.
We're just hoping that this time we'll have an answer in October.
Wonderful.
You'll see from the next slide that I have, as far as major conventions and everything else, we've done very, very well this year. 2015 was a very good year for us. 16 has been an exceptional year for us. We need to keep that continuing. But there are groups right now that will not return because of the condition of the money. And those are sitting on the edge, waiting for something to happen, that if nothing happens, again, they will reevaluate whether they want to be here in Cincinnati. So it really is a pivotal point that we need to get resolved.
Sorry for asking. Basic question. How many rooms over there?
872.
And is it crucial that you have to direct conventions there, otherwise you can't land a convention?
It is, but we are also doing workarounds. Because with new properties that have come online, we've been diminishing the number of rooms that we're using in that hotel. But it's very difficult to hide, you know, a 300-pound gorilla that exists. And people walk by and they say, why aren't we there? Well, we know why they're not there, but we are doing workarounds. And you know, for that reason, we've been successful in these numbers that we're generating right now.
Obviously, the hope is that you decide to sink the money in to the morning. Is there any kind of thought what the alternative is going to look like if they decide not to go that route and what's that going to take place next?
Yes. Those contingencies are in place. Whether it be another hotel developer, there's two or three different scenarios that we can use. But again, depends on what they intend to do, of course. And then depending on which way they go to the left or to the right, that's when those are the things that
Is there any thought process in terms of, I know you're saying the hopes are going to get back in October. Is there an alternative timeline for if they're not, they're dragging their feet, they're not responding? Or are you sort of thinking the first of the year?
I think it would be immediate. If we pass through October and there's still no communication, I think that's when they would be turned up. And again, there's too many things that are happening. You need answers. And this is a long process. I personally have been involved in this for the past 6 years, and it's just, it's, as Dan refers to, it's Lucy and football. We're going to do this, and then we're not going to do this. So we're just one way.
I think that comes back to his point about any other issues going in there if you send in the health department, et cetera.
Exactly.
We've all heard the stories through the last few years, everything from bed bugs to no air conditioning and everything else. That's what stops it from being rentable or usable.
Yeah, I think people who stay in hotels don't complain to the city, they complain to Yelp, or they just complain to I'm not saying it's the city, because the county also has very different codes and regulations that would assume apply as well. So
it would be interesting to see if there's been any reports made from a safety perspective. Not only to the City of Cincinnati Health Department, but to the Hamilton County Health District as well. Because it, from my perspective, when I hear people talk about it, it's not in a positive way, and it definitely is damaging our economic development process for downtown, and also not enhancing our ability to get more users into the convention center.
I don't know what kind of hardball we can play on this, but I think I have very little hope for letting people come around. And I don't know what our options are for playing what I call a hardball game, but just imagine what would happen if we had something in Singapore. You know, boy, I'm sure they'd take care of that overnight. You know. We're just being too nice about that.
But I think you continue making the case through either the city or the county or both on this. And just use the subtle hints. Listen, we're making a case here. I don't know if it matters or not, frankly.
Oh, I think when Sean Tracy came into the city, he left knowing the city's position. Because I think the mayor was absolutely acquainted with his conversation. So,
that was my
game. There's a lot of things in play right now. We're very close to getting an answer one way or the other. Suited up and ready to do whatever it overlaps.
I know Eric Grant has talked about it enough times. He almost has his finger right on the nuclear button right now.
Well, the other alternative is, you know, not to do money in it, put 25 million into it, or do what they need to do, or they can close it.
Well, and that's
they close it in St. Louis.
Oh, they did.
You got to really think about, you know, the enforcement piece, because that's the evolution of it. You know, the city, do we take over? Do windows get boarded up? What's
worse?
And they know how to play that game, is my understanding.
They did it in St. Louis, to Rick's point. They closed down. Probably it was 800 rooms, very similar to what we had. The difference was they had 8,000 available rooms in St. Louis, so
really
didn't have an impact.
Right.
This is right next door. You know, we're hoping to see the lights.
They got to understand there's a benefit here, being right next door. They're making money one way or the other.
Talk to them. I mean, GE is right down the street.
Yeah.
There's corporate.
My understanding from the conversations that I've heard with the mayor's office is it is such a small piece of their portfolio and their profit margin that it's negligible to them. And important to us, but not
I wish I had that kind of money.
Well, it certainly sounds like we're in for continued negotiations, and I think it feels to me that perhaps you are being as assertive and even hopefully a little more aggressive, you know, as time, you know, as our time continues to roll, and working and collaborating with Mayor Cranley and other constituents. I think it's important that we continue to push forward. I like what you said, Dan. I think it sounds like they're getting tough enough, but we need to continue to do that. And I think this is critical for us to continue to be made aware of as well, so that in our next meeting, when we have our next meeting before the end of this year, it may be October, we'll ask for you all to give us an update, if not before.
I think we'll be in position.
Okay. Now, you said something. Did I hear you say something about you have a slide presentation or something?
I do indeed.
I like to turn it over to you, Barry.
Okay. And for the sake of time, I'm just going to run through this because I have to write when this meeting is going to go.
Okay.
The next meeting with the mayor with Dan. But basically, talk about 2016. It's kind of the eyeglass chart here, the groups that we posted. It's been a very busy year for us so far. The groups like ETS, American Legion coming in, NAACP in just recently. NAACP was a group that was here in 2008 that came back this past year. And the nice thing about those two groups, between American Legion and NAACP, it was an election year, and Cincinnati was certainly in the spotlight. Because the strategy is to bring them again back in 8 years from now to be in tune with another election year. But you see some of the groups that we posted here. This is only a very small percentage of the groups that we actually host to, but just to give you an idea as to what we've been doing in 2016. More importantly, how that equates to the Smith Travel Research. And this is through August. We just completed this one this morning, just got the report. And you can see here how Hamilton County is faring as far as occupancy growth, downtown, maybe not a slide which kind of will talk about this in a second, Cincinnati North and then the competitive set. You can see here occupancy growth overall is 1.4% in Hamilton County. Demand growth, there's always a correlation between the two, is at 3.2%. But more importantly, you can see this, the ADR, average daily rate growth year over year, is at 3%. That is in line with the United States, and as far as competitive set, it's slightly below that, but revenue growth within Hamilton County is sitting at 6.2%. Now, as far as Cincinnati North, I'm going to spend a little bit of this presentation specifically talking about the North. If I go to the next slide, you can see here, this is 2014 versus 2015. In 2014, in 2015, you can see here, Cincinnati North was well ahead as far as occupancy over 14 to 15. So you can see there was a minor gain this year, but that was because they were coming off a very, very strong year in 2015. Make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But bottom line, if I go back to the previous slide, the numbers look good as far as 2016 versus 2015 from an occupancy standpoint. But
occupancy, average rate, and more importantly, revenue, which is really measurable. So tax receipts are up, which I think, Karen, you indicated as far as that's concerned, that increase we anticipate going through the rest of the year.
Interesting.
This is our kind of scorecard as to how we're doing year over year. You can see here, this is the direct comparison. We're at 715,000 with tentative room nights. This is what we put into the pipeline for this year and for future, this year compared to last year. You can see here, 715,000 room nights versus 503 for the same time last year. So basically, well ahead as far as tentative is concerned. Year to date, definites 59 versus 84. A little behind there, but then verbal definites at 113. Pleased to say that we're pacing at 172,000, which is the combined verbal definite to us, is the group has made a commitment to come, contracts have been sent out, we're waiting for the pen to hit the paper. The negotiations are done. Basically, it is just having the contract signed and returned to us. So you can see here 172 versus 134, and then strong tentatives, which is basically between one or two cities, is how we define a strong tentative. Again, we're ahead of where we were last year. And tentatives are groups we're still working on between now and the end of the year that can hopefully move from here to here to here and ultimately to the top line. Bottom line is we had a very successful year last year. We booked over 265,000 definite rooms, which was ahead of our budget of 247,000 rooms. We should be on track to same success in 2016, so again, we are recording for this.
Is that about 70% occupancy or what?
If you look at the downtown hotels.
We're downtown.
The downtown, if you look at the star report, because Millennium is obviously the drain, it's running at 60%. If I take them out, the hotels are running in the low 70s with a very good average. So to answer your question, it's more like 72 or 73% occupancy with Millennium out. With Millennium in, it's running basically 60%. You can see that we've got that many number of rooms, and Millennium is actually running 32% occupancy year to date.
Wow.
32% occupancy year to date.
Is there a target on where you want to be on the occupancy?
Yes.
Actually, that's right where our comp set is.
72?
70 in the low 70s. There's only a few other cities pacing really ahead of that. Nashville is a perfect example.
Wow.
Nashville, because they just put in 400,000 square foot exhibit hall, which is a new build, a brand new one, right next door to it, and really set the world on fire. I mean, they're running rates of almost $300 a night.
Wow. It's outrageous to stay in there.
Yeah. Is there
any questions? In the interest of time, hooked up. Year-to-date numbers for the north. You can see here, we've got a tentative goal for the north of 300,000 tentative goal. Right now we're sitting at about 50% of that at 157,000. And then definites, 85,000 definite goals, definite rooms, sitting at 15,000. But look at the verbal definites of 44,000. Strong tentatives of 47,000, but still open. There's still an awful lot of bookings in this bucket. So again, just as I said with the one pager, we anticipate meeting or exceeding this 85,000 definite room night goal for 2016, and certainly we should exceed the tentative goal. John's going to touch on a couple of things that have been in the works as far as that's concerned.
So I'm going to talk about two things. These numbers obviously don't just happen by themselves. We got to be on the phones. We got to be marketing very well, and we got to get in front of these customers. It's all about relationships, as we know. It's not just relationships with the CBB. It's relationship with our partners, our hoteliers, our attractions. So one new event that we did, can I call you that?
You can.
Okay. One new event that we did earlier this year was the opening of Princeton High School. They have some great facilities there, not only from a sports standpoint, but the auditorium is very, very impressive. And we brought our hotel community, Sharonville Convention Center, and attractions and restaurants to engage in relationship building for an afternoon.
We had the likes of Procter & Gamble, Sunny D, AK Steel, just to name a few. We had some sports directors come through as well to see the facility. So very impressive, out of the box thinking of doing something in the lobby there of the Princeton High School. That's in Viking Village, if you haven't been there. Mm-hmm. Very impressive. So that was something new that we did this year. Something that we've been doing every year is going up to our sister city up in Columbus. And we bring a very intimate yet quality group of customers, about 20 or so, to come speak our message. And so we typically go to Lindsay's, which is in the German Village there, and we usually bring in a guest speaker. We had somebody that came in and talked to associations and the customers that were there about social media and how to drive attendance. So it's not just us, you know, showing a video and having lunch. We're giving a purpose to come meet with us. Some people that were in attendance there were Ohio State Associations, Ohio School Boards Association was there, people from Helms Frisco, which is a third-party representative, and Nationwide Insurance, okay? Now, marketing. We need to look good. We can't just do this on our own. So I want to show you some things that, where we're out in the trade publications, but also via the website. So here's an example, sports. Sports is huge. Sports is huge in our area, in our region. This is an ad that ran in Connect Sports. We just came from their trade show in Dallas about 3 weeks ago, where we have 63 RFPs that we're searching through and seeing how this is all going to fit, whether it's in a convention center, in a field, it's new sports coming to the area, like Quidditch. Lacrosse is really big, as we've heard, but also the dance competitions and all this other stuff. We have 12 events that are pinned for the Sharonville Convention Center, and we just got to see how else we can work through some of the other logistics of it. So there's an example of a trade publication. The next one is for Ohio Meetings Magazine. This goes to everybody who subscribes to the state of Ohio. So this is not just state association. This is corporations, anybody who is in Ohio. And this is how we are represented there. Show you one that's on the website for the Ohio Society of Association Executives. This is a banner that if you go to their website right now, you're going to see, obviously, a plug for Cincinnati North right there. Okay. As far as those two events that happened in Princeton and Columbus, this is what our invite looks like. As you can see, there's a plug. Obviously, we're going to give away some red stickers to draw some people. But again, on the left-hand side, it's kind of hard to see, but that was our speaker. That's the education piece to come visit us. And then lastly, this goes in our bid book, which is our e-bid book. And this is just kind of an overall snapshot of the area. And I think it's important to see how we're looking in the eyes of the customer. And I think we represent ourselves very well.
Oftentimes, we've got a sales and marketing plan in place. And we basically take a look at it and see how we're progressing for the year, what tweaks we need to make. We decided to make a couple of changes specific to the North moving forward. And these are additional initiatives that we've come up with. I'll just share these with you now. Currently, in addition to the downtown sales staff, we have three people selling in the north. They're really focused in on group size and market focus, specifically for business in the north. And they're located up in Blue Ash. What we've decided to do is add a dedicated business development person to support their efforts, primarily looking at business for Sharonville Convention Center, Cooper Creek, Princeton, and the hotels. And we've got this position downtown, but we feel it's necessary to add an additional person in the north to basically focus in on finding additional business there. And I'm pleased to announce that we've actually found that individual, and the name is Amanda DeCenso, that you may remember Jim from, she left us, she went to Alaska, because her husband was transferred to Alaska.
I do remember.
Amanda's back from Alaska, so she'll be joining us.
Oh my goodness.
Back on the team, so she's very familiar with the North, and she'll hit the ground running on Tuesday. The other thing is, it's important that we stay connected with Sharonville Convention Center. So Jim, in conjunction with us, are working on basically having access to their property management system, just as we do with the Duke Energy Convention Center with Underline. That way, it enables that cell gaps, et cetera, that we can sell together. Right, Jim?
Yeah, it'd be a little easier than the hard copies I've been handed.
Yeah, they get a little blurry, especially when they're not in color. They're very difficult to follow. And the other is as far as product development. John just talked about the sports. We're really looking at the sports market. It's an incredible market that we've tapped into very well over the years. We really want to put it into hyperdrive. It's a market that's somewhat recession proof. It's difficult to tell Johnny when he can't participate in the tournament. So parents will generally make sacrifices to enable that to happen. John mentioned we just came back from Connect Sports in Dallas, and it was amazing just how many opportunities there are. I'll give you one that's right here locally. Cornhole. Out in Milton. And I met with them, and I said, oh, you're the ABC group, because they hold their national championships, their world championships of cornhole in what I term as ABC cities. Anywhere but Cincinnati.
Oh.
My question was, why?
Why?
You're from Milford. It should be here. So that's one that they said, yeah, you've shaped us into Cincinnati. We want to host that meeting in Cincinnati.
Hook them up with the microbreweries.
Absolutely. What a combination.
I like that.
Probably, as far as I'm concerned, can get better than PB is. But seriously, there's an awful lot of business here. So we've basically enlisted the help of Don Schumacher, who was the National Association of Sports locally to do a facility study. We want to see the gaps, we want to see the opportunities. Summit Park is an example. Talking to David Waltz, we need a few things there. Tell us what you need with buildings.
We are just approved the NIAR project last night. They are courting two international flag hotels for that project right there on Summit Park. We've got two other hotels under construction right now. So, yeah, you'll see some things going on. Phase three just started.
So, again, constantly reaching, constantly. It's great to publish on the sales marketing plan. It's how you address that moving forward. That was a couple of things that I'm doing. Any questions? Sorry, I didn't know that was rushed.
That was a great report. Thank you. Yeah, I didn't feel like it was rushed. Very informative. Gives a sense of direction of how we're doing, not only in the city of Cincinnati, but the whole county. Thank you so much.
And we will definitely keep you apprised of the developments.
Okay. Jim, you had something.
Oh, I was remiss in not mentioning that we wanted to thank the county for the grant for the market study of the north for the expansion of our exhibit hall. That study started, let's say, about a month, maybe a month ago. And some of you participated. I know Lee and his team in Blue Ash was very helpful. Barry and the CBB. So they got started. We're probably 2 months away from having a draft, and I'll be sharing something hopefully by the first of the year. But we utilize the same company that the CBB used, I guess, on the future study that you're doing here with the Duke Center. So,
CSL. Minneapolis.
So thanks for your participation. I look forward to sharing that hopefully by the first of the year.
Absolutely. Well, before we conclude and close our meeting, we always like to look forward to our next meeting. And historically, we've usually met around December. I want to avoid us meeting in when we get too far into December, because as you all know, what our lives are like in the month of December. So I looked at some dates. I looked at November, and then there's one in December. I looked at dates, for example, like November the 18th, which would give there's a report that has to be reviewed around November the 4th, so we don't want to meet on the 4th because that report will still probably be in process.
So I'm looking at the date of 11/18, November the 18th, or December the 2nd, which is a Friday. All of those are Friday dates. Can you guys kind of let me know what those dates look like for you? Which would you prefer?
I'd prefer the December date. My wife is due with our second child on the 18th.
Oh my goodness! Well, is she due on the 18th of December?
Yeah.
November.
November. Oh, okay. I think that's a reasonable request. So we'll go December the 2nd. That will be the first week in, first Friday in December. That way we can get through all the hullabaloo, and then we'll also find out, text us and let us know what you have.
That would be at the Sharonville.
Yes. Convention Center. I like that, yes, the location. So I'd like to mark our calendars ahead of time, so thank you. And I'd just like to, if there isn't anything else for discussion, I'd like to thank everyone for your attendance. We made a quorum. The meeting was very, very informative. We somewhat have our agenda prepared for the next meeting. And I'm looking forward to seeing you all again very soon, hopefully in October. So I'd like to entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Anyone opposing? None but the devil. Thank you. Meeting adjourned.
I just want to thank you.
Great meeting.
Well, it was great to see you. So next time you're over,
it was in the evening.
They had an event there, I guess like an opening for the local community to see the facility. That was probably a couple months ago.
Nice to meet you.
Good luck. Brendan, Karen Alder. Nice to meet you. Good.
Well, that was wonderful. Great to see you, Gwen. I'll see you soon.
I will.
Great. Maybe you guys can come to it, the three of us together.
All right. Thank you. Bye-bye. Nice seeing you.
That's just part of it.
Sure.
Good to see you. Exciting things happening up there.
Just respect for everything. Appreciate it.
So you guys squared everything away with your IT stuff, right?
Only this here.
Yeah, I was on the blacklist.
That was weird.
But I don't know they do IT. As soon as you sent that email, they knew immediately what it was.
Talk to Dan Rue. He's the one doing
it. Anyway, good to see you. Thank you for your help.
About 3 to 4 headquarters.